Good morning. Welcome this morning. We're so glad you're here. We're glad to be here. And I am so thankful the Lord is here. He's here, amen. You all brought him. You brought the Holy Spirit with you. We did. You did. And now we get to worship together. We get to spend some time together just worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this morning. We are so thankful. We come on bended knee. We come humbly. But we also come boldly. Because you, Lord, you have given us our position as heirs of Christ through Jesus Christ, your Son. And we thank you for that. Father, we just submit our day to you. We submit our songs to you. We pray you receive our worship from our heart, Lord, to yours. And we thank you so much, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come together, to minister one to another, to encourage one another, but most importantly, Lord, to be in your presence corporately and sing our songs to you and hear your word to our ears and our hearts, Lord. We are thankful and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're here, to worship a holy, living God. Thank you, Jesus. Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease.
This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Killed on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of my mind
to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wound, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone.
Of the Lord our God, oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, at dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. In robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transformed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord our God. Oh, praise, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord our God. O Lord our God. O Lord our God. Oh, we will praise your name forevermore, O Lord. And we're starting now. We're praising you this day. For this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're praising you from our heart at this moment. No matter what our circumstance, no matter what our day, our anxieties, we cast them upon you, O Lord. And we rest in you. And we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We cannot come to a holy God without praise and thanksgiving. Our circumstances do not dictate us. They are not who we are. We're in a fallen world. We go through fallen situations and circumstances, consequences, all of these things because of the fall of man. But you have overcome death. You've overcome man. You've overcome our weakness. You've overcome our sin. You are our overcomer. And so we praise you. And we praise you when we feel like it. And we praise you when we don't. Feelings don't matter. It's the heart that you look at. And we look to you, O God. We look to you because you have sealed the deal. The Holy Spirit has sealed us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are assured of that. We have blessed assurance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. We do worship you this morning. We praise you this morning. We are grateful this morning. And we're assured this morning of who you are, of what you've done, of what you're doing, and our eternal hope in you, Lord, to be with you forever and ever. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
All right, if we can all stand this morning for the scripture reading this morning. It's going to come out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. It says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and in hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If we have children, we can dismiss them at this time. Thank you.
Well, good to see everybody this morning. So glad you are here. Welcome to those online as well. We always are thankful for those who tune in and listen and hopefully grow. That's our purpose here as we go through the Word, is to grow. We're to grow closer to Jesus. We're to be more like Jesus. The Word throughout both the Old and the New Testament point, well, the Old Testament points to Jesus, the New Testament reveals Him. And then we have the revelation of what's to come. But as we go through our walk and as we go through our understanding of who we are in Christ, but more importantly, who He is in us, then we're able to grow closer to Him and be more like Him. Surrendering ourselves, surrendering our lives, surrendering our thoughts, our minds, our will. That is what receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior means. It's not just a quick, come on in, let's go, let me get on with my life prayer. It is a commitment. It is a surrender. And that's something that many times is not conveyed. And I really, as we've been walking the town down here and on Saturdays and just praying over the people, I look over the people and I say, Lord, I don't know where the hearts of all of these people are. There's hundreds of people walking all over back and forth and new people every few minutes coming by. And I don't know where they are. I don't know where their heart is. But I look up and I say, you know, one day, I remember sitting there yesterday, I looked up and I saw the blue sky and the clouds. And I'm saying, one day, this is all going to change. And the buying and the selling's going away. And the people's comforts are not going to be there. And for those who are in Jesus, we're protected. We know. We have a hope. But those who are not, what is their hope? And so as walking and praying, just asking God to open the hearts of the people in this community to receive and understand the fullness. Because I would promise you, if we asked every one of them, what is your faith? I would say probably 80-90% would say, well, I'm a Christian. But out of that 80-90%, what do they mean by that? What does that mean to certain people? Some people, it's a prayer and that's it. For other people, there's a commitment. For other people, it's just, well, I don't know, you know, it's just something that I do. Mom and daddy did it, and then their daddy and mama did it, and we've just always gone to church, so yeah, I'm a Christian. But there's no substance. But when we come together, and we're studying God's Word, and hopefully, when you leave, you're studying God's Word, that you're number one, keeping me accountable. But keeping yourself accountable, as we've talked about in the last two or three weeks, you know, training ourselves, testing ourselves, examining ourselves, that's an ongoing thing. Because it's very easy to fall back into the old pattern if we're not careful, which is the very thing that opened up this whole book, the Hebrews that we're going through. Don't go back. You can't go back to what you had. There's nothing there. Jesus is all we have. And we take Him for all that He is, not just parts that we want. So we're going to continue our study in Hebrews this week. We're going to pick up in verse 7. Our title this morning is Follow and Imitate, but Do Not Elevate. Now this is specifically speaking of following pastors or teachers, those that you like to listen to, those that are talented, those not talented with themselves, but talented with the Word of God that God has poured into them and they're pouring it back out. Follow them and even imitate to some degree, but do not elevate. So, Father, I ask that you bring this whole message this morning, Lord, into focus as we study your Word, as we go through what you have for us today, Lord. Let us rest in you. Let our minds not be distant or distracted. But may the Spirit of God speak loudly into our hearts and minds what you have for us today as we study through it. And we thank you for your word. It's a foundation that we build upon. It's what we can go to and look to and say, okay, this is what God says. What am I doing? Am I living up to it? And knowing that in our fleshly nature and in its fleshly tent, we can't live up to it. That's why you came. But we can come to you and surrender that daily. And you pour in the strength. You change our hearts. You give us new desires. And you make us who you want us to be. So we thank you so much for all that you're doing in our lives and teaching us. And ask, Lord, that we now receive all you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, recapping last week, we did look at our role as brothers and sisters in Christ regarding brotherly love. That falls under the letter N in the word train. That's nourishing one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another. And we looked at how we're not to focus on our wants and needs from the body, but rather what we're here to give. And this is the way it works. When you're a believer, if you come as a growth with a grocery list with all that you want to get, you'll never be satisfied. Whatever food you get will be sour in your mouth, because it doesn't fit the mold that you pre-planned for it to be when you get here. Well, they didn't have this going really well. That was okay. I like that. Didn't really care for that. And therefore, you'd go somewhere else and find if you can get more on your list. And so that's where a lot of people go, is what can I get? What is it? Because that's what's being taught out there. It's what's for me. It's my blessing. It's what I want. It's what I need. So therefore, that's what people are going toward. But the truth is we're supposed to come humbly before the Lord, humbly among the people of God, and humbly say, Lord, I am really not bringing anything to the table here, but because you're in me, and I'm in you, and I believe in your word, and I'm studying your word, and I'm trusting you, I want to be a willing vessel. So I'm going as a vessel to give, not just to receive. And when we come in that mindset, you always get more than you give. It always works that way. But that's not our focus. We're not coming just to get and go home. We're to give. When we're obedient to this call, we go where God leads us to worship and where to serve. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says, there are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all, not profit of self. And that's the mindset that we're to have. And then further down in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So we're all coming as the body of Christ, the members, and each one is bringing the Holy Spirit with them. If you're walking in relationship with Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. And then each one is listening to the Holy Spirit to come in to be a willing vessel to serve into that body, whether they're the foot, the hand, the eye, the ear, the nose, whatever it is. Not be nosy. Don't come to church to be nosy. That then turns to gossip. But somebody's got to do it, right? I guess that's what... No, I'm just kidding. But you come with the giftings that God has given you and called you to, and appoint you to. And then we don't let the jealousies of other people's gifts get in the way. Well, I would rather be the hand. I don't want to be the foot today. It's dirty down here. You know, especially back in the disciples' days, they had to wash their feet all the time. They wore sandals. But you go out and you walk and you walk and you walk and your feet get dirty. And some say, well, I'd rather be a hand, or I'd rather be the one speaking it. I'd rather be the one. No, we work within the giftings of what the Holy Spirit gives us, when He gives us, and how He sees fit to give us. And understanding this, we go where God sends us to minister as the body, in the body as He sees fit. And then the body will function properly as a whole, because everyone is coming with that same attitude. And this should be our attitude regarding where we fellowship and what we do in that fellowship. Now, secondly, last week we saw the writer bringing this letter closer to its finality by bringing us back to two areas that our fleshly nature struggles with probably the most. And one is the sexuality, the sin, the sensual nature of man, and the lack of contentment. And we spent a lot of time on these last week. I'm not going to belabor the points, but the writer is clearly taking the readers, both in his day and in our day today, which we're reading, the foundational truths. He's bringing us back to understanding that truth matters. Foundational truth is so important. We cannot turn our back on it. We cannot say we grow beyond it. And you can't even go to the point of where some have gone to where say, well, we no longer need the Word of God because we have the Holy Spirit. No, that is not of the Lord. Because here's the thing. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're reading His Word, you'll know that they go hand in hand. And they point to Jesus. And that it's a consistency there. And there's never a wavering. Holy Spirit will never go against God's Word, ever. But if you don't have the foundational truth of the Word of God, but yet say you follow the Spirit of God, at some point you may be following a spirit that's not of God at all, because you're not going back to the foundational truths of which everything is built upon. And if you're not willing to stay there, build upon them, not saying stay as babes, because that's the milk of the Word, but you dive in, you meditate on it, you ask the Spirit to reveal the truths to you, and you learn to walk in those truths. Then when another spirit comes and whispers something over here, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not true. And that's where people get off base. They start focusing on what feels good. Oh, well, the Spirit's telling me I'm supposed to be feeling good, and I'm supposed to maybe jump up and down, and I'm supposed to do all these things and get excited. Well, I'm not saying the Spirit can't motivate someone to get excited in the Lord. What I'm saying is, if you don't have the foundational truth, when it goes back to say everything done in decency and order, and all the other aspect of the Word of God that goes with that excitement, to keep it contained within the power of the Holy Spirit rather than the power of one's mind, then it gets out of balance. And so therefore, the writer here realizes we've got to get back to these basic truths and understand we can never get away from them. No matter how far we grow. And Paul was one very readily. He said, you know, look, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are good for me, but I'm not going to do certain things. Now, he was not talking about sin there, but he does understand where his relationship is grounded. And that's what he's basically saying we're supposed to understand. Our relationship with Jesus is grounded in His Word. Without the Word, without processing and understanding it and staying focused on those basic foundational truths, we too can find ourselves listening and hearing things that sound good on the surface and draw us away from what God really is telling us. And we have to stay in a biblical worldview, because our worldview is way off right now. The whole world is off kilter. I mean, we're basically World War III. Proxy wars up to this point, but now it's beginning to where missiles are going everywhere. And more threats. And submarines going in different places. And what is it? Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. I mean, wait a minute. We heard this before, hadn't we? Yeah. Birth pains, but the birth pains are getting more intense. You know, for the ladies who have gone through those contractions, and they timed them. You know, oh, well, they're so far apart. Well, okay, well, we're not that close yet. Well, now they're getting closer together. That's what's happening, and why he used that reference. The pains are getting closer. The time is getting short. And so we need to be grounded. So our obedience and our trust is non-negotiable to the Word of God. We cannot get away from the foundational truths of the Word of God. Now this week, we'll see the importance of remaining under sound biblical teaching and teachers. And again, biblical foundational truths that show that we serve an unchanging God. Our God is consistent. And some people don't like that about Him. Those who want to walk in their flesh have their cake and eat it too. They want to pick and choose what scriptures they like. But God is consistent in all of them. So you can't have one without the other. But I don't want the other. Well, you don't want to serve a consistent God then, do you? You want to serve the God of your choosing and your making versus the one who is unchanging and says, no, don't do that. He's not going to change His mind tomorrow regarding sin. He may take you in a different direction tomorrow than He's taking you today based on where He needs you to be and what He needs you to do. But He will never wink at your sin. And He will never go against His word that calls sin, sin. So we have to understand He is an unchanging God. And we need to guard ourselves against false teachers, false teaching, who are not teaching the word which always points to Jesus, but rather their own words that gather people to themselves to grow a big body, to grow a big building, to grow, to do whatever, denying this, not talking about that. There's a lot of that going on, and they're growing like crazy because they're tickling the ears of those people who want to hear what they want to hear. So let's get into it this morning. We're only going to cover two verses. Ha, imagine that. Hebrews 13, 7 through 9. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So, excuse me, as the writer is closing this letter, or coming to the close, he's exhorting the readers, stay close to those who are teaching the word, and follow them. Now, we've said this often and we'll continue to say it, that we don't follow men but God. So is this a contradiction? Not at all. Not when you bring it into context. We don't put our hope in a man, except the man Jesus Christ, who is also God. Nor do we elevate a man above his calling. See, God appoints some to be apostles, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists, some administrative gifts. He gives gifts as He chooses. And, of course, then you have the gifts of the Spirit, which, again, the Spirit gives as He chooses. But they're appointed to Him. And every leader, every teacher, preacher, prophet, or evangelist, first off, has to guard himself from pride so that he doesn't get all puffed up when men praise Him. And men will do that. Not necessarily because they believe what they're saying to you. Keep that in mind. Some will come up and say, oh my goodness, you got a gift of God. You can do this. And boy, when you speak, you bring up a calm. Yeah, I put everybody to sleep. That's the calmness that I bring. But what I'm saying is that some people come with that mindset because they think they're massaging you. And those who are not grounded in the Word themselves, well, you know what? That was a pretty good message, wasn't it? Yeah. You're right. You're right. I did speak very smoothly and eloquently, which you can never accuse me of. God can make sure of that. But the point I'm making here is that people will do those things in order for people to like them, to draw to them, and to get something from them. And so as they do that, if the pastor or preacher or teacher and all those are not careful, they begin to wrapped up into thinking they are pretty good at what they do. And that's the danger zone. They're not good at what they do because they're not supposed to be doing anything. If they start believing that and they start falling into that mindset, what's going to happen is they're going to start preparing messages and teaching things for manipulation purposes so that you can, again, tell them how good they are, and then you can bring them all together and say, look, now, we got a good group that's following me. And that's dangerous. So those with the that are appointed for the work of God have to understand that it is God doing the work. They're just a vessel. That's the first part of that. But the second part of that is for people not to get so saturated into whatever they like about a message, or even the fact that it is grounded in the Word, or they like the personality, the preacher, the teacher, whatever, that they start following the man. And then the next thing you know, oh, you got to come hear our preacher preach. You got to come do this. And see, here's two reasons that they do that. One is that if they really, really are sincere and they think that you're really doing a good job, they don't want to go out and witness themselves. They want to bring people to you and make you save them. Well, sorry, I can't save anybody, nor can any other preacher or pastor or teacher. So don't bring back people here for them to hear me, for them to get saved. If the Holy Spirit is working in their heart, they don't need me. Honestly, they need you because God's put you in their lives. You're their neighbors. You're their friends. You're their work mates. You're the ones who are out there in the rut every single day. And so, again, we don't elevate the man to say he's going to do this and look what he can do here. And see, here's the problem in the way a lot of churches are structured. There's some good in it. I'm not condemning this whole aspect, but when you bring a pastor on as a hireling and you give him a job description and tell him what your expectations are, then if the church doesn't grow within the 3 months that you think it's supposed to, and I'm talking about the board that hired him, the deacon board or whoever it might be, or if people aren't getting baptized every week, or if they just don't think you should, you know, you're spending too much time preaching the Bible. You need to get more energy in your message and make it more friendly and all this kind of stuff. They'll fire them. Hire and fire. There's nothing in the Word anywhere that says a pastor is hired or fired. He's called. And if he's called, then you need to pray seriously before you bring him into the church or go to the church that he's called to make sure that you're called to serve with him. Because if that's not the case, then there's going to be feelings hurt, there's going to be anger, there's going to be dissension, and the church is going to fall apart. So we need to make sure that first off, for those who are called, that they're walking in their calling, knowing that it's not them doing it, that God's doing it. Secondly, the people of the church, do not praise a man. He will let you down. He will let you down. I will let you down. Because I can't be perfect. And that's honestly what a lot of people expect people to be from their pastors or their leaders is, oh, we want perfect. No, I'm sorry, you're not going to get that. I don't speak good. I forget things. I don't follow through sometimes. Not intentionally, just my weaknesses are what they are. I'm not proud of them, and I ask the Holy Spirit every day, God, don't let me mess up today, whether I'm preaching or whether I'm getting out of the bed. Don't let me mess up today. But when I do, I have the same mercy you have. But don't elevate man. And this is what Paul is writing about to the Corinthian church, all the way back in 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 7. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, he says, are you not carnal? That's carnality. That's putting your eyes and your focus on man, not on God. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's always God that gets the glory. It has to be. If we're not raising our hands to God, but lifting your hands to a man, and you may say, oh, I don't do that. Well, maybe not consciously, but many times subconsciously, we do elevate and we do put things in things. And it may not be your pastor. It may be somebody you're following on YouTube. It may be some particular teaching that you really, really like, and you got to hear this guy. Video after video. You got to hear this guy. Oh, you got to hear this guy. You know, no, I don't need to hear them unless God calls me to hear them. And if you're hearing them, make sure that you're hearing the Word of God in their message, not just one particular point that they're trying to make, because that's their point. That's their grounding. That's their thing. And particularly when it comes to those who are constantly focusing on everybody else's ministry, that's their ministry on YouTube, is to destroy everybody else's. Did you hear about so-and-so? Let me comment on what so-and-so said. Let me tell you what he really meant. Let me tell you what he should have said. Let me tell you why he's way off base. Well, I'm sorry. I don't really think that those people are people we need to be listening to. Because if you're in your Word and you're studying and you have the Holy Spirit, if someone says something or does something that doesn't align, then you should already be aware of it. And you don't need somebody, if that's all that they do, and I'm not saying it's that a person can't make a comment here and there. I'm talking about every single video that you see that person pops up. Let me tell you what they really meant. Let me tell you what they really said. Let me tell you what they didn't say. That's all they want to do. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Because all it does is bring divisiveness. And they're focusing on man themselves, thinking, oh, they're protecting the flock of God by bringing out everybody else's faults. Well, maybe they ought to go look in the mirror. That would be the best thing they could do, is go look in the mirror. 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or of life or of death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So it's all about Jesus. He is our focus. And if we understand this, and you see a pastor or a leader that's teaching the Word of God, and this is his foundation and remains to be so, then you don't elevate him. But you can follow him if that's where God's called you to serve and to minister. You follow as an example. Now, this also means that we're to go to the Scriptures ourselves to make sure that whatever I speak or any other pastor speaks is grounded in the Word. And if you feel that it's not, then we need to sit down and talk and show me where I may have been off, or maybe you're not seeing things quite in a biblical sense the way the Holy Spirit's revealing it. We can still work through those things together, because that's what we're supposed to do. See, the Berean people knew that. They understood that. Paul, when he was traveling around, was sent by night to Berea in Acts 17:10-11. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more fair-minded than those that were back in Thessalonica. Those guys, they didn't want to hear nothing Paul had to say. But in that they received the word with all readiness, number one, and number two, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. See, there's an accountability and responsibility, not only for your pastor and teacher. There's a higher level of accountability for them, but there's an accountability to ourselves to not just fall into a comfortable place and say, well, it's, you know, I'm not sure what all he's teaching is right or wrong, but, it, you know, we have some good people over there, and like I said, been there for a while, and I'm comfortable. No, none of that is what this is about. It's about growing. It's about growing in the Word. It's about growing in the Lord. And so, therefore, when the teaching is being presented, then we need to search the Scriptures and say, okay, that's there. That's actually there. And there are some pastors that understand that, because and they encourage people to go to the Word. There's others that don't care one way or the other where you go to the Word, because half the time they're not in it. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether you go to the Word or not. Just listen to my, you know, watch my charisma and look at what I can say and do in a beautiful way. That's you know, where there's a lot about. And that's one thing that I disagreed with some of the counsel that I got earlier on when we planted the church. It was all, most of the counsel that I got, unfortunately, from one of the individuals was all business counsel, which we had already put that in order. God sent, yeah, you can have all that, you can have that and that, but God sent us a jack. And we'll put Jack up against anybody else. I promise you that right now. He's the only one that I know, if he don't mind me telling, that got an apology letter from the IRS. I've never heard of anybody else getting one. Yeah, I need one. Yeah. Yeah, you might want to start your firm back. We got business for you now. But the point I'm making is that God had prepared me through years of working on boards through business associations and different things, and understanding how boards are supposed to be set up, understanding how you need officers, understanding how you need to have your bank account, understanding all that stuff. So I had a general understanding. I'm not detailed in it, but I had the understanding of it. He prepared me, and then he brought Jack, and at the time he brought Kevin, and he brings us together as a board to serve. We had our bylaws rewritten specifically to make sure that this church was protected from me, that I couldn't go rogue, and secondly, that I'm protected and can't be run off if I'm not rogue and you think I am. And so we sat down and we spent, I don't know how many weeks, going through all that and putting all that together. Well, one of the counsel that got was, he read our, I don't like the way this is worded, I don't think this is good, and I said, I'm sorry, but that's what we're sticking with, because that's what we feel that God has called us to do. Well, and then he told me I needed to get off the joint bank account. I mean, I needed to have the double signatures off the checks. You don't need that. You need to control the money. No, I don't. Not doing that. There are a lot of things like that, okay? But outside of all of that, one of the biggest things that I disagreed with, you need to go and watch your sermons and work on your craft. You need to perfect your craft. What craft are we talking about? I'm supposed to go and learn how not to stumble over my words? I promise you, I can read a word 100 times and go over it. Okay, it's pronounced this way. It's pronounced this way. And it will not come out right. I don't care, because it's not me. God keeps me humble that way. But it's not just that. It's that, you know, he even told me, I think you're probably using a little bit too many scripture verses in your message. And he said, you know, you need to go watch and then you can learn how to project better and how to be a better presenter. That's really what it was all about. And my heart just swelled up and said, I'm not doing that. And it's not that I don't need to go back and maybe see where I may have said something wrong or incorrectly, but I honestly believe that the Holy Spirit's given it to me. And if he misspeaks, then we got a big problem. If I misspeak, I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you what you're supposed to hear. Does that make sense? It's not that I'm trying to mislead or not mislead. It's not anything about that. It's about taking the Word of God, studying it, preparing it, and presenting it, and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work through it. And I would rather you not see me at all. Matter of fact, I thought about turning all these chairs around facing the other way. But that's the whole point. It's about focusing on Jesus and keeping him first. Studying the Word yourself. Keep yourself accountable. Keep all the pastors accountable. Now, with that being said, if the minister's teaching the foundations of the truth of the Word, then we're to follow them and imitate them to a point, not trying to be them. I've also seen some guys in the Calvary movement years ago that their presentation sounded just like Chuck Smith. I mean, they must have watched every thing he did and tried to emulate his voice. That's not what it's talking about imitating. It's talking about the imitation that Paul writes about is, I'm following Christ. That's what I want you to imitate. I don't want you to imitate how I do it or when I do it or where I do it. I want you to know I am submitted to Jesus. That's what I want you to imitate. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and going into chapter 11, verse 1, we pick up this in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things. Now, let me stop on that just for a second. Paul's not saying he's a man pleaser. Well, that's what it says. No, in context, what he's saying is that when he's talking to the Jewish people, he's talking in ways that they understood. They understood the law. They understood what they were raised in, their culture, all of the patterns of things that they were taught to do. That's what he taught with them and brought them to Jesus through those things, showing that Jesus fulfilled those things. But when he spoke to the Greeks and to the Gentiles, he would come to them sometimes with philosophy. He would come to them and saying, hey, I noticed this over here. Remember, I think it was in Ephesus when he went in and he said, hey, look, you know, I noticed you got all these different gods that you have idols over here. He said, but there's one over here to the unnamed God. Well, he's the one I want to introduce you to. He didn't go into them with the law like he would go into Jews. So that's what Paul is saying here when he's all things to all people. He's meaning that he's going where they're at, meeting them where they're at and on their understanding and starting to talk with them on that level. And so he says, in all of these things, but not seeking my own profit, but for the profit of many, that they may be saved. That was his focus. So when he says, imitate me, this is what he's talking about. Go, move, do what God's calling you to do. And if it's among this group, then you go and you minister to this group in ways they can understand. And that's what missionaries understand this. Those who are called to be missionaries, they understand the cultural aspects of what they're going into. They're trained for it. They begin to understand, okay, if I'm going into this country and this language and this culture, I need to be prepared as best I can be. Now, you obviously are never going to be fully prepared, but when you get there, you're trying to meet them where they are. You're not going in to westernize the culture. You're going in to actually sometimes have to eat some of their foods that you can't even begin to think about putting in your mouth and not offend them. And you have to go and talk to them and be where they're at. So all of this stuff is what we're talking about. When you're called, God gives you, listen, if you had to eat a grub worm, God would give you the ability to do it if he called you there. Now, most of you here are like, well, I've always been involved in it, but I don't eat no grub worm. That was, you know, coming back as a memory, as a child, and we didn't go to church till I was about 8 years old, and then we quit going. But I never forget the missionaries coming. They had videos of them eating grub worms. That stuck with me since I was 5 years old, 6 years old. And to this day, I'm not called to be a missionary. Now, if he calls me, okay, Lord, can you send me where there are no grub worms? But whatever. This is God's calling. He calls, and when who he calls, he provides the means to do the work and accomplish what he sent for them to do. But then verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's what Paul meant, right in the nutshell. If you imitate me as I imitate Christ. Okay? If I'm not imitating Christ, don't imitate me. See, Paul couldn't tell men to imitate himself unless he was imitating Christ, unless he was actually doing what he's telling other people to do. All of Paul's teaching is to show us how to be like Christ. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of the teaching. Here's what I'm telling you. It's all about Jesus. Here's what you need to do. It's all about Jesus. Here's who you need to be like, Jesus. Now imitate me as I teach you these things. This is what he was striving to do. And he would often use terms, how to be like Christ or having the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, 5 through 7, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming to the likeness of men." So have this mind. Have the mind of Christ. It's not about you. First it's about him, and then it's about others. And you kind of trail along the back somewhere. And then Philippians 2, 5, no, I just read that one. Then another term was putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 13, 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and making no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." So if a man is saying, "Imitate me," and he's not taking the mind of Christ for himself, and he's not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then why should we follow him? But if he's in the Word, and he's grounded in the Word, and he's teaching the Word, that is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. That's what, when you're in the Word, you're putting on Jesus. You're studying, you're meditating on Jesus. And you're having his mind because it's his Word. See, Paul was always pointing us to Jesus, to be his disciple. Not just in word, but also in action. Not just hearing the word, but being doers, as James tells us. Now, looking at our text this morning, we can plainly see that if a teacher of the word is using scripture that always points to Jesus, that he will point to Jesus who is unchanging. Because the word is unchanging and consistent. Verse 8 here in our text says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So if you have someone teaching and they're just not grounded in the Word, they'll just kind of bit and piece here and there and then take your eyes off of Jesus but on something else. See, the things of God aren't important regarding the work. It's God himself given you the things of God to do. And there are many that are all about community service. And that's what they talk about every Sunday. We need to be out there ministering to those on the street. We need to be out there, you know, witnessing. We need to be out here doing this. We need to be out here doing that. Community service, community service. Listen, there's a place for that, and there's a time for that. And we're doing some of that, going out Saturdays and praying and walking. That's part of, that's true community service, is ministering to people where they're at. But you can't be a minister of God if all you're focused on is a problem in the culture, because you can't fix it. And ultimately, because of sin, these problems will never be fixed during this lifetime. I don't care what bill is passed to get the homeless off the street, or what law is passed to do this, or what, you know, they don't work. What really happens is money flows in, but it never gets out. And so whatever this program is designed, we're going to fix this problem. What happens is they get this big excitement thing going, the pendulum swings, and everybody jumps on board. But it's an extreme pendulum that eventually will settle back down, and then they'll see it's not working. Somebody else will come in on the opposite end and swing the pendulum the other way. And they'll create a law over here. Then they'll create a law to counter the law over here. And then they'll clarify things over here. And what's happening? The problem is still in front of us. It doesn't change. Man can't change man's problems. So we have to be pointing to an unchangeable God. And we have to be pointing to the one who doesn't change no matter what. See, when we come to the understanding that Jesus is consistent and Jesus' word is consistent and he does not change, then what has to happen is we have to change to conform to him. And that's where the change begins. Laws won't cut it. Community service, while helpful in moments of need, do not change the hearts of the people that you're ministering to. Only Jesus can do that. The foundational of who Jesus is what keeps us from being led astray by false teachers who claim to have some new truth or new insight, He got it from God, and he's the only one that had it. When you hear stuff like that, you turn and you bolt. Because the first thing I'm going to say, where's that in the Word? Because for what you're telling me that you've been told, that doesn't align up to Scripture. And if it doesn't align up to Scripture, you're out of whack, and I'm not listening to this. Joseph Smith was one of the prime examples of what we're talking about here. He heard from a demon, had a demonic name, but claims that he heard from God on this new truth. And he wrote, well, he's basically the founder. Now, this, the church, Mormon Church or Church of the Latter-day Saints, they went through many transitions to get to who they are today, but they were rooted in a lie from the very beginning. But he received another revelation. And that's what they call the Book of Mormon, another revelation of Jesus Christ. And it does not proclaim Jesus as deity. Basically says him and Satan were brothers. That God was not, that he's not the Son of God. I mean, you know, he was a created being. Jehovah's Witnesses believe the same thing, not in the same way, but that Jesus was not God. They cannot adhere to the deity of Jesus Christ. They're off base, and they have the Watchtower, and they have all their followers, and they have people who founded all these lies. This is what happens when you're not in the Word. And you hear somebody that says something that sounds good, but then it takes you off on somewhere completely away from who God is. And these are just some examples. There are many that the writer here is telling us to guard ourselves against. Today, there are still some that claim to know something that goes against Scripture that God has given them, and they're believing a lie. They have what is called the spirit of the Antichrist that's come in to deceive. We were warned about them. They were warned about them throughout Scripture. But John said this in 1 John 4:2-4, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And if he is in you, you need to be in the Word, so you know who he is. Now, one thing I did want to say here, because I often on in my spiritual walk, I question certain scriptures. What does that really mean? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Well, I know a lot of false believers that would say, yeah, he came in the flesh and he came from God. He's a good prophet. He's a good teacher. But that's not what this is just in that context, that's not what this is saying. It says every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ, who is God and has come from God in the flesh, is of God. That's really what that package is saying there. Because it would be easy for somebody to argue, oh, I believe Jesus, that God sent Jesus. Yeah, I believe that. He was a good teacher and a good prophet and a good man. And yeah, he died. I'm not convinced about that rising again thing, though. I don't necessarily believe that. And no, he wasn't God himself in the flesh. That's not, no, I don't believe that. And no, he wasn't born of a virgin. That's impossible. Scientifically, that can't be done. So no, I don't believe that either. So they can say in word, simplified form, yeah, I believe he came from God, was sent by God, or whatever. But unless they understand that he was God and the deity of who Jesus is, that's really what that particular verse is applying to here. And we need to understand that. And today, we have a danger of those who only preach part of the Scripture rather than the full counsel of God's Word. And these are just as dangerous to the body of Christ, because they don't bring in the part about sin and repentance and conviction and the blood of Jesus and the need for the blood which atones for our sin. They don't understand that really, how deep that applies to them, because they've not been taught. It's all about what we're supposed to get from him in this world, the here and now. My wealth, my health, my need, my wants. That's what the focus is. Instead of surrender and obedience to a holy God that has a standard that is in the Word, by the way, that we couldn't live up to, which is also in the Word, by the way, which is why Jesus came, which is in the Word, for us to understand that we couldn't do it on our own. The law reveals our sin. It exposes our sin. Jesus delivers us from that law of sin and death. But many don't teach of this holiness. They don't teach of sovereignty. They don't teach of obedience because it goes against the narrative of blessing and prosperity. Therefore, we need to guard ourselves regarding what we've been taught in the Word. And this is what Paul exhorted Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 6:20. He said, "Oh, Timothy!" exclamation point. Guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Are we not facing that today? Do a lot of scientists and lab coats say that they have all this knowledge and therefore they don't need faith because they have knowledge, and they are confusing people with how they interpret? They leave God out, come up with a theory, present it as truth, and therefore look down on anyone who says, "Oh, but that doesn't make sense, but I have knowledge. And therefore, you have to listen to what I'm saying." And they contradict the Word of God, and they make the Word of God look as though it contradicts itself, but it doesn't. It can't. And when you dive into it, you're able to understand how it doesn't. But when you just hear somebody say, "Oh, there's errors," well, show me, and then let's talk about them. I want to understand where you're getting that. But most of them don't know where they've heard it. And because of all the other people that have told them that Christianity can't be true, the miraculous and all the things that happen are all explainable if we just sit down and examine it close enough. And they try to, you know, what was one scientist? Well, basically, the Jordan River, when they crossed the river, you know, when Joshua, that was a very low point at that point, and they could just skirt right around and didn't have any good, you know. It's not what the Bible says. If you read the story, it was in the season when the river was up. And God stopped the waters there just like he parted the Red Sea, and they crossed over. And then God also, and also said, and he crossed over on what? Dry land. Now, I'm sorry, you can come up with all these theories you want to discredit the Bible because you call what you think you know knowledge, but it's falsely called knowledge according to what Paul is writing to Timothy. So we got to be careful. And understanding this too also, when we are in relationship with Jesus and we're in his Word, then he guards us. We're to guard ourselves by applying ourselves to his Word, by applying ourselves to truth, understand it, asking for wisdom. That's what we're applying to. But then he does the actual guarding. In Philippians 4:7, not speaking to the whole passage, you all have heard this, probably this whole passage 100 times, but it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," will what? He will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So, when we're in relationship and we're doing our part of applying ourselves to his Word and his truth, then he does the guarding. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." So we don't have a God that just says, "Believe and go about your business, and I'll watch you up here and see what happens." That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve says, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me. Cast all your cares upon me, your anxieties upon me, because I care for you." He's the God who, once we come to him in relationship, he then enters into that relationship as the protector, as the one who guards, as the one who sustains, as the one who carries. Does that mean then that We go through life just whistling along. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder? No. I don't have any bluebirds landing on my shoulder lately. They all go the other way when I walk out the door. It's not about our circumstances and every day being good and fun. And no, what that means is that now, because we're in the fallen world and we're still going to go through fallen junk because of the consequences of sin, we now have the one who is our guard and our protector inside us, over us, covering us, walking with us, protecting us, and preparing us to come home. We don't know what day that's going to be. And that's a trip-up point for a lot of people because, well, he took them just too soon. They went home too soon. They shouldn't have left. I don't understand. Well, I don't understand God's sovereignty in full either, except that he is sovereign. And what he says goes. And if someone is a believer and gets sick and they're not healed and they go home to be with Jesus because of Jesus' sovereign plan, then it was his perfect plan. And that's what his will was in that moment. And we surrender that and say, okay, God, I don't understand it and I'm hurting, but I promise you the person that went home's not. And that's what we focus on. They're enjoying Jesus face to face with new eyes and new ears and new bodies and new minds. And by faith, we will be there with them. So, this message is an encouraging message this morning. Our responsibility is first trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then go where God sends us to be taught the full counsel of God's Word, to follow the teachers as they follow Christ, and keep them accountable by getting into the Word yourself. And in all of this, Jesus will keep us and protect us and prepare us for what he has for us. What a blessing we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and burdens, what a friend we have in Jesus. But we need to be focused on him. Father, we come this morning and we thank you that you're bringing things into perspective for us, and you help us to understand that everyone has a calling and everyone has a role. But you do the calling, you do the appointing. The Holy Spirit prepares and moves them in that calling as you see fit. But we're just people. We're just men and women. We're nothing more than that. We just want to be obedient. And we need to be accountable to your word. I pray that you'll awaken every heart from this room to this community, to this state, to this nation. Open the hearts of your people to be drawn back to your word. It's the foundation of where they need to be. Because otherwise, what foundation do they have? Because men will lead them astray. Men will abuse them. Men will hurt them and manipulate them. But you, O God, in all your truth and all your glory, will love them and protect them. And thank you, Lord, for that. We love you so much, and we praise you so much. We pray you'll have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we do the song, I'm going to ask Samantha to come up. Samantha's going to come up and share a little bit about her experience as God led her on the mission field. And let her just come on up here because I want people to hear you. So she's going to take a few minutes to share that, and then we'll do the last song, and got some birthday wishes coming up too, I have a feeling. So.
Ooh. Hi, guys. So, as you guys might know, I went over to Myrtle Beach this summer, and I spent 2 months there working with Impact Ministries. So I kind of wanted to tell you guys a little bit about them and kind of who they are. So Impact Ministries actually started 50 years ago in Myrtle Beach. Some pastors saw that with the amount of people who were coming in for tourism, there was a really good opportunity to start evangelizing in some of the RV parks. So they started doing day camps, which were kind of like a VBS. And so what they did was they would, you know, have crafts and story times with the kids. And eventually they actually asked Impact to begin hosting Sunday churches at the RV parks. So we still do that today. So other than day camps, what we do is we visit retirement homes in the community, family shelters where we play with the children and kind of get to know the parents a little bit. We go to the boys' home, which was one of my favorite things we got to do. We got to meet two boys named MJ and Ryder. Ryder actually found out he's getting adopted this December, so praise God for that one. And MJ's still waiting to figure out if he can get back with his family. We visit food banks and what's called Associated Charities. Those are their two organizations that work with the homeless. Associated Charities gives out hygiene products, clothes, anything that they could need, and actually helps them get their driver's license and different documents back. There's also Boardwalk and Hospitality, which were probably some of the more challenging ones. For Boardwalk, you just go up to whoever you feel called to, whoever you can find, and attempt to start up a conversation with them to share your faith or maybe just pray for them. What we call Hospitality, we walk across this big stretch of road, Ocean Boulevard, and we go into the different businesses, the hotels. And if you can imagine, if you've ever worked in customer service, you don't get much thanks for what you're doing out there. So we give them a goodie bag, and we ask them for a prayer request, just kind of let them know that there is someone out there who does care about them. That one's really also one of my favorites. But we also do Broadway at the Beach, which... it's not at the beach, it's a little misleading, but there's kind of this amusement area with all these shops, and we set up tables, and we do face paint and attempt to do balloon art if we can, and we use that as our way to get out there and evangelize. One of Todd, who was my boss, one of his favorites was the rainbow on the kids' faces, because he could just go into Noah's Ark and all of that, and he would just use it beautifully. For the staff personally, on Wednesdays, we actually had the opportunity to go have lunch with a woman named Miss Vivian every Wednesday. She is, I believe, 94 now. She actually began her mission work at, I think, 72. So it's never too late to get into it. she's a really, really cool lady. She got to teach us and tell us, you know, all her different stories, and we just spent hours playing Uno with her after lunch, so. But we also got to go to All Nations Cafe, which is hosted by a church. And so what it is there are students who come here from all over the world on a J-1 visa. They are super, super smart kids. Those are the future doctors and engineers of their countries. And they're coming here to learn a bit about the American economy. But while they're here, since they're, you know, coming to us, we figured that's a great opportunity to try and reach them about the gospel. So we spend the entire summer, every Wednesday, from like 5 to 10 p.m., just spending time with those people. We break bread with them, we eat with them, we play games, and just try to get to know them over the summer. Which, you know, I keep saying this, but another one of my favorite parts. So, but lastly, I just wanted to say that Impact really showed me to be bold. Because when you're sharing your faith, if you're kind of, I don't know, more nervous than they are, I don't know if they're going to listen to you, but just be bold about it. People will listen. And just know that, you know, your mission field can be anywhere, with anything. Even if it doesn't feel like you're doing something, chances are that seed was planted and you just might have missed it. And then I also got the opportunity to see how Christ moves through so many different kinds of people. you know, anywhere from like the little kids to the older folks, anyone's welcome there, and I got to very happily watch them be used in different ways. So it was a really cool opportunity. The last thing I have here is this little card. I know I only have one, so I'm sorry, but I can pass it around later if you guys would like. But it's just Miss Angie and Mike. They also are missionaries there. And so it's a little bit more about them and their missions work. But yeah, I think I got through everything. So if you guys have any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, being obedient and going where God has called her to do, and what a blessing. And I hope you got all of our little letters and notes and all those things in there. You know, we want to encourage you, as well as anyone who is really asking and seeking, what is God calling me to do? You know, what is my next step? Where do I need to go? If you're willing to do what he's calling you to do today, he will open up the door for tomorrow. And he will present that to you. And thank you so much for sharing that. That's a blessing for us. A couple of the things that as man, I failed you in. I forgot to tell Norman a couple of weeks ago to send out a reminder about this. But every year in Bartow County, we do prayer walks at the schools. And so every school today, from 4 to 5 o'clock in Bartow County, there'll be a team at one of those schools, and we'll be handing out little prayer sheets for people to go. And they walk during that hour. They don't have to come the whole time. Like 10 minutes, they walk. 5 minutes, they walk around and pray over the school, and then they leave. And you go to any school you want if you're near a school. We actually are host at Cartersville Elementary School, which is off of Old Mill Road. And again, it was I knew we were doing this, and I just completely forgot to get with Norman ahead of time, so apologize to you for that, Norman. But if you can come out to any of the schools, I know a couple of you are near some schools, go walk it. But if you want to come out to where we are, we're off it. It's right off of Old Mill Road. It's Cartersville Elementary School. And again, you know, we haven't had many people come out, not from here necessarily. I'm talking about from the schools. It's just that school doesn't draw a lot of people from there, because the principal's a Christian there. She comes out and talks with us most every year we've been out there. But we encourage, if you can, to come out between 4 and 5. And again, you don't stay the whole time. We'll be out there the whole time. We're going to be carrying water out there, and for people to come so they can have water as they go around. But I wanted to mention that. And secondly, is we do have a baptism coming up. Toya Phillips is getting baptized on the 31st. And so what we're going to be doing is, that's a Sunday. And I don't see Barb and Janet this morning, but her son Bear has a place off of 20 out heading toward Canton. They've got a pool. They've also got a little pond there. But we're going to have the baptism there after church that Sunday. And for those who can come, if you'll let us know you're coming, we're going to be bringing like a side dish. We're going to grill burgers and hot dogs and stuff like that that afternoon. So just some small dishes for that. And then we're going to have the baptism right there. I'm putting 1 o'clock, and I do have this information to send you, Norman, so hold me to it. We'll be sending out reminders about this for the next 2 weeks, because it's 2 Sundays from now. And like I said, we're going to be doing it out there. So I hope you can come and celebrate. She's extremely excited to do this, and we're excited for her and want to be there to support her and her statement of faith with baptism. So that's coming up again in 2 weeks from Sunday. So I think those are the only two things I failed in really getting things out sooner. But I do know that we have some birthdays. So we're going to do the birthdays before we do our doxology. Why? Because we're scared of the song doxology. This music on this song, it's the simplest little song in the world, and there's a lot of chords in that little old bitty song. But anyway, so we have Anna. Happy birthday for Anna coming up tomorrow. Okay, and there was who else? I know there's somebody else. That's right. Kayla, it's Tuesday. That's right. We have another one coming up next Sunday that we're not going to mention yet, because we want them to have their full day for themselves, so, you know, but it's Ned. But we're not going to sing to you, Ned, today. We'll do that next week. So, give me a chord. Is he unmuted yet? I know you normally don't unmute him during the service, but...
to you.
Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday, Kayla and Anna. And then next week, happy birthday to y'all. And if there's anybody else that I know most people wouldn't say themselves that, hey, my birthday's coming up, but let us know and we'll sing to them too. We don't want anybody to be left out. Amen. All right. You guys ready?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God from whom all blessings